Hello, folks. Sean Mice here for our third round the table mastermind call. I'm really excited about what we're going to do today. And I'll tell you what I'll do is just right up front, kind of give you the order of business for today. The very first thing that we're going to do after just a little preamble by me right now is I'm going to go through, we're going to take a look at your progress, what you've accomplished in the last 3 weeks, and then we are going to take a look at what you want to accomplish next based on what you know that you need to, based on the training that I've given you, based on the core four, and then we'll move from there. Now, what I believe is going to be as important or more important than the work I'm going to do with you personally, so the time that I spend with you personally, whatever that is, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, that obviously makes waves. It makes changes in your life as you have that accountability in place and as you field your ideas and you know that that's important. However, what I've been discovering with this is that so much of the transformation is occurring when you hear my interaction with others. So some of the things that I'm sharing with others, you may think, I didn't think to add that, ask that. I didn't think to put that in my business, but I can see how I could. There's also a motivational factor here. Now, I totally get life gets in the way, and that's part of the value of having this accountability every couple of weeks because, you know, the truth of the matter is, I get distracted in my business sometimes. For a week or two or three, I get distracted. I go off on a trail somewhere, and I may or may not have any great results out of it, but I always come back to center. And that's what this call, a lot about what this call is about, is coming back to center. You come in, and you have a rough couple of weeks, and we get you back to center, and you start over. You know, you've got the opportunity, folks, to do that about 24 times a year. You have a chance to start over 24 times a year in two-week increments. I tend to start over every single week in my business, so I start over maybe 48 times a year. You're with this program, you're getting to start over fresh 24 times a year, and anything that you've not been able to accomplish, I know a couple of you have been sick. You know, a couple of you have had some vacation time. It's over the summer. And so there's things that hold you back. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to really zone in on those individuals on this call who have accomplished great things in the last 5 weeks. I don't want you to beat yourself up because you had a flu for a week or you're away for a week and a half or you got distracted. I want you to draw encouragement from what you're hearing from other folks. And I just want you to ask yourself, what can I do in the next 2 weeks? What can I do starting today to get back on track? Because the past is irrelevant, and the future, past the next couple of weeks, is actually irrelevant as well. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, you can dream about 2 years from now all you want. But if you don't take action these next 2 weeks, the next 2 years will never happen. You think about that. Over the course of the last 5 years, you've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Obviously, many of you folks, you're highly successful in other arenas. This is just a fresh arena for you. For many of you, you know, everything I'm sharing with you is live and real in your life. You've done it again and again and again in different arenas, primarily the offline arenas. We're in the online arena, and there's so much more distraction in the online arena. You're in the offline arena, you can shut your door, you can put a lock on it, you can have your secretary tell people that you're not around and you're not available and, you know, all of those types of things. Online, especially with these little distraction machines called smartphones, I mean, my goodness, there's just distraction all over. Distraction is distraction city. So here's what I want to do, folks. I'm going to go ahead and get started. We're going to start with those of you who have to go to work first. I think there's a couple of you that you're literally in your car, on your cell phone, on the way to work. And so those we talk with first. And for everyone, as your turn is coming, I really want you to focus on each person. I want you to dig in and feel their pain. I want you to feel their accomplishment. And then I want you to be able to internalize what that accomplishment could mean for you. What can you draw from what you're hearing to restart these next 2 weeks? So let's open up the call and say who wants to go first. And again, I'll just take those first who you're on your way to work and you need to move on quickly. Hello, Chris. Let's start with you. Give me your progress report, what you've accomplished first.
Okay, sure. Yes, the progress report was to flesh out why people would choose me as the expert coach in creating their online business, how I differentiate myself in this competitive market. And as you know, my niche is internet marketing. My sub-niche is list building, how to get started online. And the 3 to 4 bullet points that I came up with was that I care about the customer getting the results because in turn, it's word of mouth, testimonial, and that's critical for us when we, getting started. Secondly, is that I am available via Skype, email. That's the energy that I put out. I'm approachable versus a guru that's been established a lot longer. We would probably get assigned to secretary, or it wouldn't be the one-on-one hand-holding. But the part where I'm a little challenged on is getting started, how I would charge a premium price of, let's say, $97 a month, given that it would seem that, to get the lead, I would have to go in at a lower price, let's say, of $10 a month, for example, if I'm selling some type of lead magnet. So that's the challenge that I have, although I will stick to $97 a month for my coaching services. So that's what I have as far as why should someone start off with me as their coach expert. Oh, sorry, and to position myself that I have the time versus that they don't, that the guru does not.
Okay, so now you just answered that question about 2 minutes ago. You already answered that question. You said that's why you stand out. And so I thought your first question was, hey, how do I stage this premium pricing? But then you kind of followed up and you asked the question that you already answered. You said, well, why should someone choose me? Well, you already answered that 2 minutes ago.
Okay, so, that to you sounds like a good unique selling proposition, because that's the challenge that I have is how I differentiate myself. Is it just one strong bullet point that I need, for instance, that because I'm fresh, given 2009, but 4 years, but really the last 2 years I have been focused, that I have this experience, that I do get results, I can get you results, and I have the time versus someone that's more experienced that probably does not. Is that all I really need, is just one or two of those strong bullet points?
That's it right there. Chris, that's it. In fact, Chris, you don't even have to tell people. You don't even have to tell people. Would you like me to show you how to show people that you're available without even telling them?
Sure.
Okay. It's exactly what I did when I started my business. And in fact, to a large degree, I still do it even though I don't have the time to work with people personally. I still do this to a huge degree, and so people perceive that availability. Obviously, none of my programs come with that type of availability anymore. This program is the very closest that I have to unlimited capability, with the exception of a core of 5 one-on-one coaching clients. So you just work with a few coaching clients at a time. I find that I can't give my one-on-one coaching clients all the attention they need if I have more than 4 or 5. So I just keep 4 or 5 in the stable of clients, work with them, and then if somebody meets all their goals and then they move on, then I'll take on a new coaching, a one-on-one coaching client. But other than that, I'm not available. You are available. When I got started, I was available. I never had to tell anybody I was available. You want to guess how people discovered that I was available to help them in a way that nobody else could help them?
You probably contacted them via Skype or email, and it was you calling?
No. Let me ask you this, Chris. Have you ever in the past hit reply to some of the gurus' emails and not gotten a response back?
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you sent an email to somebody and either gotten an automated response or gotten no response? Like, what percentage of the time when you tried to contact somebody have you gotten no response or some very small response from the customer service?
At least 90%, yeah.
Okay. And so the 10% of the time when somebody responds, what does that tell you immediately?
Yeah, they care. They're available.
They care and they're available. That's all I did. And I still do that. Okay, now the one difference is that now I have something that's all of my customer service. So if somebody's missing a download page, I never see that email. Okay, and so obviously if somebody is exposed to that and then they assume that because they got a download email from my customer service staff that I'm not available, I mean, unfortunately, that, you know, that's kind of the line that's there. But I still tend to respond to those personal questions. You know, hey, what program do I need to help me get on my feet? What coaching do I need? What do I need to do in my business? I still respond to those emails. Now, I don't respond email after email after second or third email. I say, look, if you want more than this, you really need to get into my coaching program. You can do the same thing. I used to do that when I was first getting started. And here's the thing, Chris. If you're personally available, people will pay you $97 a month right from the bat, right off the bat. They really will. People will pay. People will pay to get personal attention. They'll pay you $97 a month to get personal attention, even if you don't even have a track record. You're going to help them. You're going to help them do whatever it is that they need to do, and you're going to be so totally available. I mean, if somebody needs to learn how to do something that you don't even know how to do, you'd probably go out there and study for 25 hours just so you could teach them, right?
Yes, I would.
You would. And then you would learn it, and then in the future, you could even create a training program on how to do that, and it would have been well worth your time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you're obviously worth 97 bucks a month, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the other question I think I heard in there was, you know, you obviously you feel comfortable selling lead magnets, $7 or $10 things. Those are lead magnets. Those are just to get people onto your list. You get that, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And but your other the sticky point that you have is, hey, how do I come up with a real $97 product, right?
Correct.
Okay. Chris, here's what I would do right now if I were in your shoes. I would forget about creating a $97 product right now. Let me ask you this, Chris. You've been in this program now for 5 weeks, and about the I don't remember when it was. Must have been the second week. So there's been 3 weeks where the instruction has been to create 30 minutes of daily content. So that's been 3 weeks, 15 working days. So you probably have created 7.5 hours of content in the last 3 weeks, right?
I have. You can check my blog. Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so you've created 7.5 hours of content, and if it's on your blog, I'm guessing it's written content, right?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. How has that worked into your life, that schedule of doing that 30 minutes? Is it gotten to be sort of like eating breakfast? It's just something you do every day. You don't have to fight with yourself to do it.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's one of those things. I just put myself on autopilot, just like prayer. I have to do it, and I like it. I enjoy it, and I see that just day by day it becomes easier. And as you mentioned, I don't recall with which student, but just do it. Force yourself to do it. And then it becomes automatic.
You're absolutely right. You know, it's just like any other habit. It's like going to the gym. You know, my wife talks about this a lot. I tell you what, if we go to the gym every day, we go to the gym every day. But if we don't go to the gym for 2 days in a row, we don't go to the gym, period. We have to go every day. Now, I know that some people they're real regimented and they're able to go every other day because that's what their training manual says. We find we have to go every day. And even if that means just showing up at the gym, doing something wussy for 20 minutes and then leaving, but just the physical showing up And then on the days where we're supposed to work out hard, we work out. But we've found that if we just go every day, it works. If we don't, it doesn't. It's the same way with this. So now here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you now, Chris. And I'm working on the fact that you're the person I'm able to challenge on this. Because I was hoping I'd challenge somebody on this. Okay? And you're going to be kind of the, you're going to be the poster person, right? Because I'm challenging everybody who's already done what you've done. Now, for some people on this call that have not done the first 7.5 hours of content, and they've not followed the 30 minutes per day on this, well, you know, for those of you, you probably need to wait 2 more weeks to do what I'm giving Chris. But let me ask you this, Chris. Now that that's firmly established in your life as a 30-minute time of content creation, and now that you have 7.5 hours worth of written content on your blog, would it be okay with you if I shifted what you do during that 30 minutes of time from typing to speaking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Same time and the same content. Meaning that if you would write something for 30 minutes, just speak the same thing. Could you do that?
Yeah, you mean like use Dragonfly software or the Camtasia mic?
Yeah, just use whatever your computer has, because everybody's computer has something different. Just use whatever you have on your computer that allows you to record an MP3.
Okay, I see. Okay, yes.
So right now you're probably writing a little outline, and then you're writing 30 minutes of content from the outline, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so it would be no different for you to write the same outline, but just speak the content, right?
Speak the content, okay.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If you were to do that for the next 2 weeks, and you had 10 30-minute spoken content sessions, you'd have a 5-hour training program with 10 training tracks on it, wouldn't you?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, now let me ask you this, Chris. If I sell a 10-track program that has 5 hours of content on it, what do I sell it for on my website?
I'd say that's a premium price of $97 a month.
Well, that's a one-time download, so it's probably not going to be monthly. So it'd probably be $97 at a minimum, all the way up to $1,000. Because that's what I sell. Those are my programs. My $400 program is about 8 hours of content. My $1,000 programs, they range between 5 and 13 hours of content. So if you were to do what I just shared with you for the next 2 weeks, you would have a $97 product to sell, wouldn't you?
Yes.
All right. Have I answered your 2 questions?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Excellent. So now my question to you, the follow-up question, the final question is, what's your next step? What's your big goal for the next 2 weeks?
Is to create, speak the content, to create 10 track or 10 articles as 30 minutes a day. So I grab the 10 articles, let's say on list building topic, and just speak that content. Is that correct? 10. I wrote down 10 track progress, but that's what you meant, right? The 10. Because I have a variety. Okay. I have list building.
Instead of writing a 1,000-word article each day, you're going to speak a 3,000-word spoken article. The reason it's going to be 3,000 words instead of 1,000 is because you speak faster than you write. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So you write at whatever. What do you type at? 20 words a minute? 30 words a minute?
That's the average. I mean, I'm not okay. That fast, but I'm
there. That's okay. So if you're typing at 20, 30 words a minute, in 30 minutes, you're probably typing about 600-700 words a day, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you speak at 100 words a minute, and so 30 minutes, you're going to do about 3,000 words. It's going to be spoken content. And every single day for the next 10 days, you're just going to teach on one different aspect of list building for the next 10 days. How does that sound?
Got it. Okay, that sounds perfect.
All right. There you go, Chris. That's your thing. And next week, I'm going to be so excited to hear about your product that you've created. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I like the challenge. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Good. Excellent. All right. Very good. Very good, Chris. All right. Let's open up the call now to the next person that's on their way to work. All right. If there's nobody else that needs to go next, anybody else that needs to go first? All right. If there's nobody else that needs to go first, we'll take who wants to go first. Who wants to go? Whoever screams loudest.
Sean, this is Howard.
Hello, Howard.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Here's what I took away from our last roundtable. Number one, I was going to focus on that core four. I was going to extend, borrow, link my expert credibility and expose new people to my expertise and focus on what I offer in my consulting packages. What I did first, and there'll be some repetition in this rather, is I surveyed my list. I had about 90 opt-ins over the past 30 days that I surveyed. I identified two core ways to meet their needs that I wasn't offering currently as any sort of training or package or product. Strategic planning and a loan hedging and pricing request. I focused on strategic planning as it was the most popular. And what this has led me to do is to draft a high-ticket strategic planning program to frame the value. I've begun outlining a strategic planning course. Now, this is something that I'm familiar with, but I'm not, you know, my level of expertise is not where it is with some of my other things, so I'm having to put in additional time researching and synthesizing. And I've begun drafting my 21-day email sequence for new subscribers to push this really as a $1,000, or I'm thinking actually a $2,000 product. So what I've actually accomplished is drafting and synthesizing about 75% of the strategic planning training outline. I need to actually record the training. I'm looking at about 8 modules there, it looks like. I've written a 13,000-plus word little manifesto to lead into this, and have outlined, again, this email sequence. And looking forward to our next roundtable, I expect my email sequence to be live, my strategic planning training recorded, created, and offered, my manifesto landing page live and fully distributed to my list, and record and have available a replay of a supporting pitch webinar to focus on getting this out there.
Excellent. Howard, excellent work. I'll tell you, I love the way that you've dove into this. My goodness, you've done exactly what I've shared with you. You've gone over and above, and I mean, my goodness, you are right on track. 7 weeks from the beginning of this to having full-fledged, obviously, 21-day email conversion campaign, the product live, and then obviously the selling pieces in place. I think that's phenomenal, Howard. Any questions for me on anything that you're struggling with that I might be able to help you with as you're going through this process?
You know, not directly here because, I think I'm pretty clear on what I need to do. I did send an email referring you to another product in a membership site that I had available, and if you get a chance to look at that and give me some insight, I haven't had success marketing it. It's I've given it some very tepid marketing attempts. I haven't really focused on it, and I'm just trying to decide and discern whether I should try to come up with a whole new marketing approach. And try to offer it for money, or whether I should use it as a lead generation tool.
Okay, I actually responded to that email that you sent to me with a couple of questions. So not sure if you missed that. The question really was, and I went through the membership site, and from my perspective, my goodness, that looks phenomenal. I mean, just absolutely amazing, all that data, right at your fingertips. My question
right.
would be to the people who would buy that, to your target audience, is that information that's pretty readily available out there if they're at that level, or is that information that really they have to pay for anyway?
At some level for a single bank, you know, it's available. It's not formatted, you know, in a really usable way. And some of the information is just not available.
Okay.
And none of it is available for, you know, basically a widespread slice or an all-you-can-eat buffet type approach other than, you know, I've got some competitors out there that would have similar type offerings, maybe targeted at even, you know, a little higher price point.
Okay. So now are they combining some different elements with it to have a higher price point, or are they just basically selling the same thing that you're selling right there?
I think they're selling what is even, you know, less attractive than what I sell. But, I mean, obviously I've got some pride authorship, so that, you know, take that for what it's worth. I think they sell something that's less helpful than what I sell.
Okay, and you feel like they're getting a higher price than what you're selling it for?
I pretty much know that because I can look at their websites and see what their prices are.
Okay.
Now,
my gut feeling on that is, without pulling that sales page up right now in front of me, my gut feeling on that sales page.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it is it sort of has that hypey feel to it that you would find sort of in the internet marketing niche. And
right.
I think that in your circle, so the people to whom you sell are probably looking at that page and seeing it from the lens of something more gimmicky than it actually is. And so my feeling is, and that's why I really wanted to dig into what's the value of this to the end user, because when I look at that, maybe what I feel like maybe is missing on that sales page is a real buildup of the value of it and of what it could really do for that vice president, what it could really do for them. Because that, if you remember that sales page, you know, it kind of talks about it, and then all of a sudden there's just, you know, in these big red or big bright orange letters, you know, just the big price. And mm-hmm. I think that maybe something a little subtler, a little more in line with the trusted advisor approach,
okay,
would allow that to have a much more legitimate feel to that marketplace. Okay?
Okay.
And then obviously what happened with me was I had an experience that your client wouldn't have until they invested, and that was, hey, I logged into it and I looked at it, and obviously it works so easy and it's snap, 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 and it just comes up so fast. And, you know, kind of knowing membership software and frankly, once you have the data to put in that database, you know how easy it is to kind of make all that happen. And my
right.
feeling is, boy, from an internet marketing niche perspective, look at something like that and I go, you know, wow, that's a low-priced monthly type of offer. It's real low, you know, it's real low maintenance to have going.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if having that at those vice presidents' fingertips is that valuable, I think that the sales page just needs to be structured from a trusted advisor perspective, really building up the value of what someone could do with that, really drawing out the fact that they can't get it anywhere else except for a higher price. And if that's the case, then maybe it could sell standalone. You know, the other option is, and, you know, I don't know what it costs you to maintain that database and keep those numbers fresh, but, you know, that would serve as a phenomenal bonus or addition to your high-level consulting. You know, if you've got a $5,000 or $10,000 package or, you know, you've got a training course that's going to be $2,000 to $5,000, that would serve as a phenomenal additional value for folks and could possibly increase conversion rate as well.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, two quick things just to reflect on what the first caller said. Two things that stuck with me: learn something new and create new training. That was bingo. That was exactly what I've been focusing on here. And the notion about speaking your material as opposed to writing it, You know, I've been doing that for a couple of years now. It is much quicker, and once you get used to it, things flow much more naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Howard. I discovered that about 6 years ago, and I mean, my goodness, since then I've probably done 500 hours worth of spoken content. I hardly do any writing except what I'm going to put, you know, on a website or an email campaign or something for people to see initially. But in terms of hardcore training, almost everything is the spoken word, because, I mean, the biggest advantage is, like you just said, Howard, I mean, the biggest advantage is the speed with which we can get the information out there. It's just so much. It's just so much easier, so much faster. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Great.
All righty. Well, boy, I'm loving this progress, Howard. And well, very good. Anything else for me, Howard?
No, I'm ready to go.
Excellent. Well, very good. Very good. All right. Well, folks, let's move on. Who wants to go next?
Hello, Sean. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Hello, Aaron.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Sorry, I was a minute or two late. I might have missed the first 10 seconds, but sounds like exactly what I needed to hear. So, as you know from a couple of emails I've sent you, I've actually had some struggles in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I have been away on vacation, but I didn't really do what I could have done there. And I guess the main reason I've struggled is I don't like to sound melodramatic about it, but I guess I felt like I poured my heart out in the first 2 weeks in terms of writing content, and I produced a heap of it, more than I've ever done before. And I kind of, felt a bit drained, but also started to hit this wall of not knowing what to write and how to write it in an interesting and informative way. I kind of, and so I've really struggled with that. I had to go and do some research on how to outline content, or how to outline articles first, and actually ended up buying a cheap e-product to help me on that one. Hasn't quite sort of nailed it yet, but I know that I just need to do more practice to get better at that. What I have done to make up for that missed time is I had an ebook I wrote for a former employer back in 2009. Was about a 44-page lead generation magnet on online marketing, and I contacted him and he gave me permission to republish that on my site, which I have now done. So there's about nearly 12,000 words of content there to make up for the missed time. And I've also jumped onto using Camtasia to start recording videos, and I've created it's either 3 or 4 videos in varying lengths of time. And I guess the area I'm still struggling is just doing that outline and coming up with an effective and an interesting way to write and or talk about a product, particularly when it comes to the talking side of it. I just feel like I just end up waffling a lot, and I don't want to produce 30 minutes of waffle. I'd rather try and keep that sort of on target and interesting. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Okay, excellent. Well, let me ask you some questions that will help me zero in on what the real problem is, and once I can determine what that is, I'll give you a suggestion or two that should get you back on track. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Go for it.
So let me ask you this, Aaron. How many sessions have you sat down and physically recorded a 30-minute audio or video, even if you're waffling? How many of those have you done so far?
None. I mean, all the content I've created in terms of the stuff I've done and edited is less than 30 minutes, and then obviously I spend time doing some editing as well. So I think 2 of them are about 20 minutes, and then the last one was about 10 minutes.
And those are audios or webinar or videos?
They're Camtasia videos, so I'm doing screen recordings. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So let me ask you this. Those 3 videos, regardless of how waffling they are, regardless of how scattered they may be, do they demonstrate whatever it is that you told somebody that you were going to teach them in that 20 minutes?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Aaron. I would say that's a perfectly fine recording. I really would. Here's the thing, Aaron. There's a few things we know about video and combining it with human learning. If somebody watches your 20-minute video, they only retain, what, 10% of it anyway. Really?
Yeah.
They only retain 10% of it anyway. If you were to just solid teach for 20 minutes, I do that sometimes. I just solid teach for 20 minutes. When that happens, people are telling me they have to listen to it 5 to 7 times to get everything out of it, and they have to take notes and keep writing and writing and writing. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm with you, Aaron. I would rather do one 20-minute segment that just teaches somebody everything they need to know and let them do the hard work of listening to it 7 times to get everything out of it. I mean, to me, that would mean I have accomplished my goal. I've taught so much it takes you 7 times to figure it out. That would make me feel really good. But truth be told, the average buyer would probably rather listen to something that has a little bit of waffle in it, that has a little bit of humor in it, that shows that you're a real human because you stumble and you get lost and you come back. You have no idea, Aaron, how many people tell me that they appreciate the fact that I'm so truthful and honest when I do my training. Okay, now obviously I am truthful and honest, but how do people know that? They, in my opinion, they get it because I'm so transparent. If I mess something up on the video, I'm not going to go back and edit it and take it out. I just say, you know what? Boy, I just hit the wrong link right there, and that's an example of what not to do. See, the truth of the matter is, most of the people that are trying to do what you're teaching, they don't know it like you do. And because they don't know it like you do, they make mistakes all the time. And when they see you do a perfect rendition, it makes them feel inferior and stupid and incapable of doing it because you do it perfectly the first time around. The truth of the matter is, it took you 15 times to do something before you could do it perfectly, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times if they see a mistake or two in that video and you just laugh it off and you fix it, you know, some people would argue with me and say, no, you really want to give them a perfect experience. And, hey, in my opinion, Aaron, that's a different client. That's a different client. There's two different clients. Here's what I would do if I were you, Aaron. I'd keep doing what you're doing. I would really push for 30 minutes a day of content. I mean, literally 30 minutes a day of content creation. Editing is over and above that. But 30 minutes of actual content creation. If you'll do that, if you'll commit to that, now that you're not on vacation anymore, if you'll commit to 30 minutes of content creation every single day, at the end of 2 weeks, you won't be waffling as much. You'll be staying on target more. And you may end up with some videos that are subpar. Slap them up on YouTube as free content. And you when you follow this method of daily content creation, nothing ever goes to waste, ever. Nothing. It's just like the way God made our forests. Nothing goes to waste. If a tree comes up and it ends up dying because a lightning hits it, nothing goes to waste. All the leaves fall off and they become carbon and they go into the ground and they fertilize another tree. Nothing goes to waste in nature. And when you're doing 30 minutes of daily content, nothing ever goes to waste unless you allow it to. Anytime you have a cast-off video, you just slap it up on YouTube. I mean, the thing is, I'm obviously, folks, please don't get this wrong. I'm not recommending some huge YouTube strategy, although YouTube can be powerful. I'm not recommending that. All I'm saying is, if you have some cast-off, you can't do anything else with it, you know, you just tack it up on YouTube, it generates traffic, it sends people back to your website, and people who come through video are highly qualified anyway, so you lose nothing. So I'll be honest with you, Aaron, my recommendation would be on the waffling side, on the scattered side, just do it every day for 2 weeks, and that will go away. The second question, the second thing that you mentioned that I'd like to deal with is the issue of, you know, how do I organize it, how do I outline it, how do I present it so that it is interesting. Now, I usually don't think about making things interesting. My guess is sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. My guess is also for people who like, trust, and respect me and like what I teach, everything is interesting. And so I think a lot of it's in the eye of the beholder. I would stop focusing on interesting and instead focus on procedural. So, for example, if you're wanting to teach someone how to do something, you know, whether it's creating a new campaign or it's creating a new pay-per-click campaign or it's creating a new email campaign or it's creating a new sales funnel, whatever it is, if you just take out however you brainstorm, whether it's on your pad or it's on paper or whatever, if you just take something out and spend half an hour, and if you make a list of every single step that somebody needs to go through, no matter how mundane. So if you're teaching them how to do a sales funnel, what are all the steps that are necessary? What are all the steps that are necessary? So maybe there's 100 steps. You know, you got to decide, you know, what the market needs. You got to decide what's the email campaign going to look like. You got to decide what are the sales components. What are they going to teach? So maybe there's 100 steps. Maybe there's 10 steps. Whatever, it doesn't matter. So that's what you do for half an hour, an hour, whatever it takes. You create this full outline that is logical. So it's logical and linear. It's not like a mind map. It is logical and linear. It is step one, step two, step three. If you get to something where there's a fork in the road where step three and step four are kind of both steps, but they're both step three, then you could make that like a branch, sort of like a mind map. You could have it as a branch, and you could say, okay, these are the two things that have to be done, and you just branch that out. But when you get done, you have a complete logical and linear process flow for all the steps that are necessary for whatever you're going to teach them how to do. Then what you can do is you can go back and layer on top of that additional thoughts and ideas. This is where you do more of a brainstorming mind map thing. So let's say one of your steps is outline an email campaign. Then you could go in and have some branches off that say, you know, that talk about writing content, writing credibility, writing sales emails, you know, writing questions, doing surveys. I mean, you can really just say, okay, what are all the thoughts somebody needs for this? What are all the thoughts somebody needs for that? Are you following me so far, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. So then what you do when all of this is done, you've done your logical foundation, and then you've done more of a creative, holistic layer on top of the foundation. Then you walk away from it for a day. And when you come back to it, then you're going to look at it from a third set of eyes. You're going to look at it from a perspective of how can I clump things together so that I can teach one component at a time. And so now you'll look at it, and, you know, I just kind of talked about writing the email campaign. So you'll look at that part of the mind map, and you'll say, okay, that's going to be one training. And then you'll look at sales letters, and you're going to go, that's going to be one part of the training. And then you're going to look at surveys, and that's going to be another part of the training. And so then you're going to look at this, and you're going to see all different parts of the training that you're going to be able to do. And now that you have those parts of the training, you're going to extract one of those parts and say, okay, what do I need to do to make this happen? And then to not be scattered on that, you can make an outline of that one component. So you've started out, let's just use this imaginary topic of outlining a full sales funnel. So the full sales funnel includes the landing page, it includes the sales pages, it includes hot keywords, it includes hot key thoughts, it includes email campaign, it includes psychological embedding techniques, it includes emotional persuasion techniques, it includes everything that's going to go into a sales campaign. It's got all of these different things. That's the big picture. But each element of your big picture could be broken down into parts. And so now you go redo this process for each part, and then the next step really is just how deep do I want to go? How deep do I want to go? Do I want to create a 10-hour program on this one little component, or do I want to create a 45-minute program on this component? And once all that outlining is done, you can literally just sit down every day for half an hour, just record off that outline. Now, having said that, Aaron, it will be easy for you to take what I just gave you, make that into a 2-week project. And then next week, you're going to be right where you're at today, except you will have an outline. And that, there's nothing wrong with that, actually. As long as you can make a firm 2-week end to outlining, because outlining could take you a year, because you may want it to be perfect. And if it takes you a year, that's too long. Yeah. Normally, what the process I just described to you, I can normally sit down in an afternoon and literally outline 100 hours worth of training. And you probably could do it as well. And so I would encourage you to get the outlining part that we just talked about out of the way as quickly as possible. And here's the kicker, Aaron. Remember, the mantra we've been talking about is this daily 30 minutes of content. Even if it takes you 2 weeks to create that outline, you are still responsible for 30 minutes every day of daily content creation, because the daily content creation is outside of outlining time. It is outside of editing time. It is outside of thinking time. It is 30 minutes a day of solid content creation, just like your workout. You know, if you give yourself 30 minutes a day to work out, you can't spend the first 10 minutes of that time planning your workout and the last 10 minutes of that time decompressing from your workout. You've got the full 30-minute workout if you're going to be in shape, and you can spend as much time before your workout planning your workout. You can spend as much time after your workout thinking about your workout. But for 30 minutes, you have got to be doing your cardio or weight training or interval training or whatever it is. It's just like daily content creation. It should be done every day, whether it rains, it shines, it snows, it hails, it blizzards, it lightnings, it thunders, you're tired, you're sick, whatever, 30 minutes every day like clockwork. Do you feel like that gives you a plan you can work with, Aaron?
It does, and it kind of sparked something in my head that, you know, like I'll give you an example. One of the videos I created was on the topic of buying domain names for a business, particularly where something like a keyword-rich domain name that a business might want is not available. So I spent some time going over some suggestions of how to come up with something that would still work. And at the end of it, I went, yuck, I hate that. It's terrible. I missed so many things. But what I did is the next day I came back and I sat down having had a night to think on it, and I wrote off a list of about 10 different things I could have said in the video that didn't, and I jumped in and re-recorded the video and just went bang, 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 knocked them all out in 20 minutes. And although it was a few ums and ers and it wasn't perfect, it was 10 times better than the one I did the day before. So, you know, I guess what that tells me is that, you know, get it out, as you say, and, you know, if it's not perfect, you've got a day or two to think about it. You can always go back and re-record it later on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can always re-record something and then take the original and just make it into content. But I'll be honest with you, Aaron, I've recorded, if I had to guess, I've done over 5 hours worth of content in the last 6 years, probably much more than that. To the best of my knowledge, I have re-recorded no more than 1 hour of that content. I just don't do it. I just don't do it. If I create it once, you know, that's it. If it's good training, I'm going to put it out there. If it's bad training, it's going to be a bonus somewhere. I mean, really, if people sometimes ask, well, how do you come up? What do you use for your bonuses? I put from my bonuses, they're the phenomenal training that I have created in the past, but for some reason people don't want to buy it.
Mm.
Seriously, that's what bonuses are. They're things that are phenomenal training, but nobody wants to buy it. Now, that could be because it's the topic people aren't interested in. It could be a topic that people don't want to pay for. Whatever. Those are the bonuses. You know, there's some of my best content people won't pay for. You know what you do? You sell them what they'll pay for and then give them what they need. Marlon Sanders taught me that. You sell them what they'll pay for and then give them what they need. Now, I'm not talking about being unethical or bait and switch or anything. I mean, you know, you obviously if you sell them what they want, you give them what they want. But you also give them what they really need. You know, here's the thing. Here's one of those topics for me. I'll tell you what one of those topics are for me. And that's this whole expert foundation base. That's the most important thing in my business, aside from the purpose and the plan that I have in my life that's been given to me by God. That's the most important thing in my business is my expert foundation. That's the most important thing in my business. And you would think if that's the most important thing in my business, that should be the thing that is most important in my sales funnel. And it should be. But you know what? I can't get people to volunteer to pay for that. They'll pay for all kinds of other topics that are faddish and trickish, and not trickish, but you know, just technique stuff they're never going to use anyway. They'll pay for that. So I sell them that.
Strategic.
I sell them that, and then I tell them at the beginning. I've done this before. I sell them that, and then at the very beginning of the download page, I say, "Hey, by the way, I've got a bonus training that I'd love for you to study. I even recommend you study it before you study what you paid for. And you know what I get the most comments on when people write me and thank me for my wonderful training? I respond and I say, hey, what did you like best about it? The bonus training you put on the very first line. And so obviously your niche is going to be different. And I'm kind of rambling here, but there is no wasted content. If you create something, people won't buy it, it becomes a bonus. If you create something and you don't like it, chop it up and put it on YouTube. I mean, you know, once a year you create something that just really is, you know, the pit, well, then maybe you throw that away. But I've never done that before, ever. I've never thrown something away. I've always found a way to use something or it's sitting on my hard drive waiting for a good opportunity to use it. You know, but I'm pretty prolific and I get it out there. All right, Aaron, you got your plan for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah. Get out there, create 30 minutes of content every day.
Yes. 30 minutes of content keeps the doctor away. You know, they say that apple keeps the doctor away, and there's all those other little aphorisms. I'll tell you, 30 minutes a day, and this is to everybody now. This is not to Aaron. Aaron gets it. This is to everybody now. If all you did in your business every day was create 30 minutes of content every day, you did nothing else for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months. You did nothing else. Your life would change at some point. For some of you, it'll change in 2 weeks. For some of you, it may take 90 days. But 90 days from now, when you look back and you have 45 hours of content, and we're not just talking content, because, see, you folks are evaluating your content based on your first hour. You created 1 hour of content, and you're thinking about that, thinking, in 90 days, I'm going to have 45 hours of this. And you're thinking, come on, I don't want a business like that. It's kind of like if you go to a painting class. If you go to a painting class for 45 times, by the end of the 45th session, you ought to be able to paint a sunset. But if you go to the first class and all they do is teach you how to mix the color yellow, and then you just think, okay, well, I'm going to do this 45 times, and at the end of the year, I'll be able to mix 45 colors, then you would go, well, I don't want to do this painting class. But every class builds on the next one, and that's what happens, folks. When you create content, you get better and better and better at doing it on the fly. Folks, I can literally create in 1 minute, 60 seconds, I can create an outline and teach for 2 hours from a 60-second outline. It's not because I'm special. It's not because I have an innate ability. It's because I've done it 500 times. That's the only reason. It's the only reason. It's because I've done it over and over and over again. And it'll be the same way with you. If you will just create 30 minutes of content every single day for whatever time period it takes for you to have a breakthrough, at some point you will wake up and you will have an aha moment. That moment may be when you have 45 hours of content created 90 days from now, and you look at that and you say, wow, I could release a 45-month coaching program. Or you look at that and you think, I could release 3 15-hour training programs at $397 apiece. Or whatever. But you do 30 minutes of daily content, folks, every day, like clockwork. Do it like eating. Do it like going to the gym. If you'll do that, I promise your life will change at some point. And no matter how much I try to tell you how your life will change, you cannot even imagine how your life will change after some period of time of daily content. Folks, let's take the next. By the way, before we do this, has this been helpful? Everything we've been doing, we've really been digging into this content idea. Everybody we've talked to really digging into this content idea. Folks, has this been helpful? If so, say yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Folks, I know this sounds so simple. It just sounds so simple. And yet, it is one of the undergirding firm foundations in your business. And just like a building, if you have no foundation, your building will crumble. And if you don't have a foundation of content, your business will likely crumble. Let's take the next person. Who wants to go next?
Sean, I have a suggestion. It's Chris Cabo. A quick one here for Aaron. Let's just say, for example, with keeping in line with creating the outline flow, since I'm in that task as well, would the 10x10 matrix, for instance, for Aaron or for any of us, the niche theme, let's just say how to make money online, the one bullet point, market research, sub-bullet point, how to choose a niche, how to conduct a keyword research, how to check your competition, next set, website development, how to purchase a domain, how to set up a DNS for your hosting, how to add domain on your hosting service, the cPanel, how to install a WordPress site, copywriting, the next one, how to
become
a good copywriter.
We get it.
So would that be applicable to Aaron and those of us like myself that are on this and Howard, the 10x10 matrix? Do you see that for us keeping in line with the content flow? Can we use your 10x10 matrix, or is that used for something else?
Chris, you're more than welcome to. Now, that is the basic model. What I gave Aaron, if you go back and listen to this later, what I gave Aaron is the advanced model. So the 10x10 matrix is the basic beginner introductory model, and it changes lives. You can use that, but if and I'm not going to reteach it because I just took 15 minutes or so to teach it, Aaron. The advanced model, I haven't even named it, but the advanced model is what I gave Aaron. You can use the 10x10 if you want, or you can use the advanced model. It's your choice.
Okay, so we'll call that the advanced model. That when I go back and listen to it, just we'll label it advanced model, and then maybe I can create a PDF, send it to you, and then you can distribute it to the members the way you did for Aaron, just so we have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell you what, yes, if you can come up with a creative way to kind of frame that advanced model, absolutely. Then, you know, we can call that the advanced content creation model or something cool. And, you know, that I'll tell you, the 10x10 matrix, when I initially created that, you know, I had a client, one of my first high-ticket clients, after I taught it to him, it was not named at the time, and he came back and he said, man, that was just life-changing. I think he told me it was worth the price of admission to the program. It was one of my first high-ticket trainings, and he told me it was that. If I remember correctly, he told me that that one concept was worth the price of admission, and he suggested I call it the 10x10 matrix, and, of course, that stuck. And so, yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Chris. Thank you very much. Let's open up the call. Who wants to go next?
I can go next.
Hey, who's this?
This is Mary.
Hello, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, what I was working on was doing the 30 minutes per day, and I've been doing that. And, you know, I've actually been doing a little more than that. But what really helped me was I started working from a blueprint. In other words, outlined, just like we're talking about the 10x10 matrix, only this was a little bit smaller than that. But I started working from that outline to write the posts, write the articles. And so that's what I've been doing. And, my one-on-one I sent you, and you said it was good. My high-ticket contrast is about three-quarters of the way done. I kind of forgot about that, and I started working on it this morning again because obviously this call reminded me. But I tell you what a big breakthrough of mine was. I was waking up one morning, and the thought entered my mind that this, because always before I had kind of thought of this as, if you can imagine someone who has a problem watching TV and they suddenly get a job as a TV critic, and they that's their job to write TV or to watch TV all day. My love was writing, and I still carried some of that guilt about spending my day writing. And I was able to overcome that because it hit me one morning. This isn't just what I want to do. This is like my personal ministry of this world. It's the way that, you know, over and above what we're supposed to do. this is the way I can help and impact people's lives. And so that made a great big difference.
Well, I tell you what, if I wasn't sitting down right now, I would stand up and start dancing. I mean, I'm so excited that you've internalized that concept, Mary. That's wonderful.
I have. And if I sound out of breath right now, it's because I'm walking my 3 miles while listening to this, you know,
Excellent.
Doing some multitasking. But I have been doing so much better with the with actually giving myself permission to sit down and write. But also I've been spending a lot more time on the planning, and that's outside, like you said, outside of the content creation. But I have been working from a couple of different plans, and that has, because when I sit down to write, I already have my title planned out. All I have to do is start writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. What do you see as your challenge for the next 2 weeks?
I think maybe doing like what you were talking about with Aaron about doing the content creation, because I do, like creating the outline and doing that whole process, that is like, I don't know, it's almost like a drug to me. I like doing that. And then to work from an outline is a no-brainer. You know, I like, how do you say it? Well, like outlining a topic extensively. And then I would be able to teach on it much longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Well, any questions for me, Mary? Obviously, as we go through this call, you know, the folks that go first, you know, I do more of the kind of the teaching, and it really is relevant for everyone on the call. And then as we kind of go through the call, there'll probably be less teaching because, you know, obviously I'm not going to reteach the same thing, and you don't need it because you obviously said, hey, you know, I'm internalizing what I shared, you know, what I had shared with Aaron. So any questions for me, Mary?
Not that I can think of. I'm, I guess you could say, merrily rolling along.
Excellent. Well, that's what I love to hear. Well, very good. Very good. All righty, who wants to go next?
Yeah, Joshua here.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is...
Can you hear me? Go ahead. Yeah, I can. Go ahead. Who is this?
Okay. Yeah, this is Joshua.
Excellent. Hello, Joshua.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Very good. Okay. Basically, what we've done is that our niche is offline marketing. Okay. So what it is that we set up our website and we've grown our list to over 2,000 subscribers right now. So we've created our authority websites, and we've created 8 case studies recorded, videos anyway, recorded. And we've done like 4 audio trainings as well, set up. That's for the authority website. And we've set up like 3 coaching sales pages, for one for 10K, 5K, and 1K. But obviously, we've not actually gotten any sales yet, okay? But we promoted it in our autoresponder, but it was a bit limited. We integrated most of our membership offers. We've done over 20 email follow-up sequence. But that's 3 for coaching offers and for our 2 membership site offers. The membership site offers have been going off the. We've been getting more sales off them, but we are trying to like integrate more of the email promotions for the coaching. Okay, and with regards to leads, we did a launch. Was it about 2 weeks ago? So that generated us 500 leads that have been buying into our memberships and all those stuff. We actually have a product launch today, later on today. So, that's what we've done so far. The goals for next 2 weeks basically is to sell 10 seats of our 1K coaching via webinar. And to create daily content for our blog, say 10 trainings between now and two and the next 2 weeks, we've got the topics already selected anyway. So add one email autoresponder daily to our membership site sequence, and set up some of our other membership sites as well, and add it to add some autoresponder sequence to it as well to get some more sales. And with regards to, I've got two questions for you. I'm trying to like take this coaching that we're offering, like internet marketing coaching, to offline businesses. Okay, so I was thinking of a way to go about doing it. Just 1 second, let me just grab my. Okay, I've got like two niches I was going to target. Basically, I thought about offering the coaching to all the businesses. And something just came up to me that is going to be a lot better if I target a particular niche. Okay, so what I've done, I've researched and I found out like two niches that I would like to target, which is hotels and dentists. So I've been trying to like write up the strategy on how to take this online coaching thing, but to take it offline. But you know, the way to contact the offline businesses is a bit different. You can't actually reach them via email and all those stuff. So I've been, you can some of them on LinkedIn and all those stuff. But with regards to reaching the ones that are not available by email or not on LinkedIn, that has made me think differently. So with regards to that, I've got the questions I have is this. How best is it to promote, let's say for a dentist, how best is it to promote, to promote the dentists that are not found online, the ones that I can't find on LinkedIn and all the other stuff. I came up with one idea, I came up with one idea, which is called 3D mailing, where you sort of like, we get like a priority envelope and send it off to them, but just normal mail, but it's going to be in a priority envelope. And is it best to sell the course straight away, or is it best to like sell them to an appointment for a marketing audit, so that I can go through what they're already doing at the moment, and then upsell them to the coaching after that? Okay, and another question is, or do I create like I'm writing a book that is customized to the niche. So I was looking to maybe give away the book in my first contact via the 3D mailing, and or maybe offer that as an incentive for them to book an appointment with me. Okay. The second niche, which is the hotels. I found a couple of associations that do have a contact list. So I've approached them, and I've seen that they offer email promotions to hotel owners and all this stuff. So what I was thinking of doing was trying to, like, since I'm going to be offering this as a seminar, I've been thinking of a webinar, but I'm not really sure on how offline businesses would understand. They're not really, some of them not really web savvy, so having to offer webinars might be a bit over their head. So I've been thinking about how best to structure like an opt-in where I have something that they can pick up. That's where I came up with the book, customize the book for the niche and give it away. Or maybe I offer a case study of how a particular internet marketing strategy has helped a business in their own niche. And then have like a credibility follow-up emails and all the other processes that will sell them via email. So with those two questions, I would love some feedback on them and on what you think with what we've done so far.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, so I want to make one clarification distinction here.
Okay.
You're wanting to market the hotels in Dennis, but I'm assuming that that is separate from all of the marketing that you're currently doing to your offline businesses. Am I correct in saying that?
Offline lists that we do have is, yes, you are correct, yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask that is that I want to make sure that I understand that, you know, if you're making this switch, that it's not to your current list, because the best way to market to your current list is to find out what they want and then sell them what they want. So your current list marketing will involve sending a survey out, find out what they want, and sell them what they want. So when you have a current list, you never want to take your current list and try to fit it into what you want to teach. You want to find out what your current list needs and then create training that fits into your current list. Does that make sense?
Okay. I think I need to rephrase that. Maybe I didn't explain it a lot better. My current list is the coaching membership site. My list is offline, people that want to actually start up or offer their services to offline businesses. That's my current list. The new list that I was actually looking to approach so that I can test it out, so I can offer it as coaching to my current list, which is for the folks that want to learn how to offer their services to offline businesses, okay? So I'm testing some stuff out that I would later on coach, teach to the students that buy my products.
Okay, so you're wanting to come up with a sample niche that you'll go in, you'll market in that sample niche so you can figure out what works, and then you'll be able to – correct. Okay, so so now you had your questions, so now I'm going to answer those questions. But I'm going to not answer them the way you've asked them, because I want to change your mindset on some things.
Okay.
And you can do whatever you want to do, okay, but – I mean,
okay.
If you tap into my expertise, I'm going to, you know, it's kind of like if you go to a Mercedes dealership, if I'm the Mercedes salesman and you ask me what kind of car I should buy, I'm going to tell you to buy a Mercedes. I'm not going to suggest a Toyota. And, of course, if I get fired from the Mercedes dealership and I'm working for Toyota next week and you ask me what kind of car should you buy, I'm going to say, man, you should buy a Toyota, because – I mean, that's who I work for. That's my concept. It's Toyota, or my concept is Mercedes. And so my concept is this online marketing. And so if you ask me, how do I reach people that are not online? So they're offline dentists, but they never go online to find out anything. I would just say that's not part of your model. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't add it in later. But that's not your core model. That's not your core model. And if you're marketing to people who are trying to learn how to do online marketing, that's outside of your current model. You can make it a new niche if you want, but that's outside of your model, and that's outside of the model I teach. Here's the truth of the matter is, in today's world, if a dentist genuinely has a problem with his marketing and wants to get more clients, odds are he's going to pull out his smartphone and he's going to type in the question, how do I get more clients? I'm not saying you can't do direct mail. Direct mail works, okay? But you already have mastered the online side of things. It run you $50,000 to $100,000 right now to break in brand new cold to direct marketing to cold people that are only going to respond to direct mail. And so that's really outside the scope of what I see teaching you right here. What I would recommend is you use the exact same business model with dentists that you use with everywhere else. What is that model? That model is find out what they're looking for, put content up on a website, dentistmarketing.com. you put content up on a website, you put an opt-in form on the website, you get people to join the list, you get them to join the list through a manual that you give away or a recording that you give away, and then you market to that list using a 21-day email campaign just like you're doing for your other campaign. I mean, the process for marketing to dentists is exactly the same as the process to marketing anyone else. You see, you're not marketing to the dental office. You're marketing to a human. You are marketing to Dr. Jones. And humans, they all operate exactly the same. They all operate exactly the same. Now, the question you asked about webinars, here's the thing. If you are an online, if you have an offline business and you have a smartphone, and most offline businesses, the human running the business has a smartphone and he has a computer and he's probably able to follow the directions to get on a webinar even if he's never done it before. So I would say if you want to offer a webinar to dentists, by all means, offer a webinar to dentists. Does that make sense?
Correct, yeah, it does.
Okay, now, the other question you asked was, you know, do I do a marketing audit first or do I do the course first? Here's the thing, Joshua. You don't want to waste your time talking to people one-on-one until they've invested something with you. So by all means, start with the course first. Start with the course first, and then if somebody buys the course and you want to do a marketing audit and then maybe sell them a coaching program or you want to sell them a marketing service or something, then maybe do a marketing audit. But I'm just not a big believer in getting people on the phone until they've bought something. I just really believe that if somebody's not willing to invest in your ordinary course, they're just not qualified to get on the phone and talk with you. Now, does that mean you're going to lose somebody from time to time that only buys if they talk to somebody? Yeah, you're going to lose somebody from time to time, you know, but I just really believe in that as a filter. Your next question was, hey, should I use a book or a webinar? Well, it just really depends. I mean, you know, a book is a nice, solid – a book's a nice workhorse. I mean, I use books for my front end. A webinar can really take rapport to a new level. If you use a webinar first, then the people that go through the webinar tend to spend more with you in the long run. You know, but the difference with a webinar is they're not going to get it immediately. They have to wait for the webinar time. I like the idea of getting an ebook into their hands because it's immediate, or getting them a recorded replay of a live webinar into their hands. I'm just a big fan of immediately. I want them to immediately get something that solidifies me as being an expert. I don't care if I make a sale the first day. I don't care. I don't need to make a sale the first day. I don't even need to make a sale the 10th day. I just want to build a relationship. I want you to trust me. Once you trust me, then I'm your trusted advisor. And then I can find out your needs, and I can recommend the perfect training for you. Okay, now I don't do that one-on-one. I do it through the email campaign. Why? Because I already know everybody's needs. I know what people's needs are if they come through a certain squeeze page. I've been doing this so long. Now, when you start your brand new campaign, you're not going to know. How do you find out? That's what the surveys are for. You find out what their needs are, and then you create products that meet those needs. Then you send out an email that says, hey, do you have this need? You know, do you need more clients? Do you need to learn how to upsell root canals? You know, do you need to learn how to charge more for your root canals? And that's the need. So you create a training program that answers the need. You send an email out that says, hey, do you have this need? If you do, open this email. And then when they get to the email, obviously, if they don't have that need, they shouldn't have opened the email. It would be kind of like if there's a sign outside of the sandwich shop that says, are you hungry? If so, come in. Well, somebody comes into the sandwich shop and gets to the counter. The person behind the counter shop says, which sandwich would you like? And you respond, oh, I don't want any sandwich. I'm not hungry. I mean, that's probably going to create a little bit of discomfort because you don't belong in that sandwich shop. You're not hungry. Now, you may say, well, I'm just looking because maybe tomorrow I'll be hungry. You could say that. The only people that are really a candidate to even read your sales letter is someone who is hungry for what you have. And so you're going to create products that meet the needs of the people on that list, and then you're just going to sequentially offer those products to people once you become their trusted advisor. But I just believe that it's critical that your step is to become a trusted advisor and not a salesperson. Now, having said that, a lot of people sell a course on the first day. There's two reasons for that. Number one, it qualifies the fact that everybody on your list is going to be a qualified buyer, and then you just build a relationship with buyers. There's nothing wrong with it. The second thing that people like to do is they like to self-liquidate their offers, meaning if you're buying traffic and you're selling something on the first day, it pays for your traffic right away. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But I have discovered, and I've tested this time and time and time and time again, that if I don't sell on the first day and I build a relationship, I make far more money in the long run per subscriber. Now, do I have to wait for my money to come in? Yeah, absolutely. It's like the difference. If you want to grow a tomato, if you want to eat a tomato, there's two ways to eat a tomato. One is to go to the grocery store, pay $3 a pound, you get a tomato today. The other way is to buy a small tomato plant, water it for 45 days, and you'll get 45 tomatoes for the same price you paid for one tomato today. Me, I'm willing to wait to make more money. But everybody's different, and so I can't recommend a plan of action for you. You can make faster money now and build buyers immediately, or you can have slow drip, build trust, make more money per subscriber in the long run, but you have to wait for it. Does that answer your question, Joshua?
Yes, it does. It does. It does, actually. It makes it a lot clearer. But with regards to questions that knowing what the dentist needs, I went through a couple of forums and a couple of some newsletters that I'm actually part of, and I was studying what questions that they asked on the blogs and what the what their problems were. I found out that many of them did not actually advertise. And many of them do not actually, they don't actually have creative and innovative ways to get their clients coming back for more. Okay, so they somehow, many of them have not actually started tapping into the online resources out there. So it's just about positioning myself right. And from what you said, having to build credibility and being the key, that will get me somewhere on the long run. And I thought about actually maybe setting up like automated webinars or something that is automated with regards to instance, giving them like the instant gratification. Oh, you can get the book, or you can get the tutorials and get the ebook after the webinar or something. I have a download link for the book, understand, after the webinar, so they don't have to buy anything, because I've thought about sending them to buy something immediately. But with what you've actually talked me through now, I would rather take my time, build a relationship, and get them to buy more in the process.
Excellent. When you do that, when you build that relationship, and then you price it accordingly. I mean, if you build a relationship, you can charge a lot more. So if you build a relationship, you can charge $1,000 for the same training that you could sell for $97 to people that don't have a relationship. And so it's important that if you build the relationship, that you put a relationship premium on the price. Okay?
Correct.
If you build that relationship first and people really trust you, there's folks out there that have, dental programs that are $1,000 a month, and you basically, the dentist basically gets a new postcard each month and, a newsletter with some ideas for, scripts for the front office person to call people and say, hey, it's time to get your teeth clean. So you know, I mean, you're not going to be the first person doing this. There's a number of other people in the dental market that are already doing it. And I would take the time to find those individuals and see what they're doing. I mean, there's folks out there that have $5,000 a month dental coaching programs, you know, and $1,000 a month postcard services and things like that. There's a lot you can learn there. Obviously, taking a look at what the competition is doing. I rarely recommend taking a look at what the competition is doing because most of the time, competition is not doing things right. Okay, but obviously, with something like this that's a well-developed market, it could help to just know what the competition is doing. But you want to follow all the basic rules. Find out what they need, create a program that meets their needs, build a relationship, and sell it to them the same way you do in all your other markets. Dentists are no different than all your other markets. Does that answer your question, Joshua?
You just hit the nail on the head.
Excellent. Alrighty, any other questions for me?
No, thanks so much for your time. At least you just took the weight off my shoulders, so back to work.
Excellent. Well, very good. All right, folks, let's open up the call. Who wants to go next? Alrighty. Who wants to go next? I'm hearing somebody trying to come through, but boy, it looks like you're on Skype and we can't hear you. You sounds like you've really got a bad connection there. It just sounds like a real lot of static there. Yeah, I'm very, very sorry. We can't hear you on that line for some reason. All righty. Who is not gone? We're going to go ahead and wrap up things now. So who is not gone so far?
Hi, this is Dale.
Hello, Dale. How are you?
Great.
Very good.
So in the last 3 weeks, as you know, I was on vacation for last week. I was able to do a couple of times content creation while I was on vacation, but just got busy doing my vacation stuff. So took a few days off. But in the last couple of days, I've been going hard at it. And like yesterday, I sat down twice. I'm finding that I'm going a little bit beyond the 30 minutes. I'm getting up to about 40 minutes. Although for me, 40 minutes of my time of content creation may only equal 10 minutes of your time, but that's the way it is. But I'm just finding I'm able to keep going longer and longer on my when I sit down to write. So I'm really finding that that's helping out. You know, I mean, like I'm lifting maybe 30 pounds of weight today, whereas 3 weeks ago, I was only lifting 15 pounds, you know. So so it's I'm getting stronger at it, so I can see progress, and that's great. One thing I have not been doing, though, like I've been writing it down on paper, so I don't know if I may go through and transcribe it onto blog posts in addition to my daily content. And I may take some of it and record it as an audio or possibly video, but probably audio. I think for the next, and the other thing I haven't been doing very little, but I'm beginning to kind of just in my mind flesh that out is creating a coaching offer. So I'm just kind of fleshing that out in my mind. And I think in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to at least build an outline to an offer page and begin to outline what I would offer and then start working towards that.
Excellent.
Another thing I just wanted to point out or maybe suggest, and I'll just see what your thought is, I've seen that some people, what they do is they, you know, as part of their expert credibility, is they will mention, like, who their coaches are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if they've, you know, like, they've been, you know, and I've even seen, you know, so, I mean, if that might help people to be able to say, you know, I've been coaching with this person. I mean, I was in one coaching program, and they said, hey, you know, it was SEO, search engine related, targeted, and they said, hey, you know, you can use our rankings to show that you're coached by the people who got those rankings, for example.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, I mean, we could build upon your success, kind of in a sense.
Uh-huh.
So that's just one suggestion for or
uh-huh.
thought, you know. Leverage off of your expertise and your success.
Excellent.
So that's pretty much it. But I'm just finding, as you said, we force ourselves to sit down, go through that daily content creation. Sometimes it's, you know, at the very end of the day, which is probably not the best time, you know, before bed or whatever. But I think if I'm starting to get more disciplined with it, though. And so I'm seeing progress that way. And I just have been finding going through listening, like the previous session, when I listened to the recording of what you said to me that really helped out, and also that training on focus that you gave, I've been finding that's really helped out.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Well, very good. It sounds to me like, I mean, you're kind of living proof. You're doing the work. You're doing the 30-minute foundation. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You can go more than 30 minutes. You will build. Every day that you do this, it'll get easier and easier and easier. You know, I would, if you're doing it late in the day, I would encourage you, make this an early morning priority. You'll get so much more done if you can just make this an early morning priority, the daily content. It will guide your day in an uncanny way, and I'm not going to get into all of the whys and wherefores for it, but if you'll just do it, if you'll move it towards an earlier part of your day, you'll be amazed at how your day will flow easier as a result of having done that content first. Now, having said that, Dale, if the only time you can set aside is right before bed, hey, that's a great time to do it, because that's a much better time than not doing it. Okay, so obviously I don't want to say, hey, if that's the time that works best for you, then stick with that time. But, you know, the daily part, and it sounds like even with, you know, just doing a few of these sessions since you had that time off, is already having a breakthrough for you. I can only imagine what it'll be like in 2 more weeks when you've done 10 30-minute sessions. How does that sound?
No, that's exactly true. You know,
yeah.
You're exactly right on.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Dale, any questions for me?
Would you recommend that I go through and, like, record sessions or else instead of writing, like, record some?
Do you
record
feel like
my
you're
previous
ready to?
Content?
Well,
and
do
also,
you feel like you're ready to?
Yes.
Then do it, by all means, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, if you do it and you feel like you're in over your head, then go back to the blackboard and write for a few more days. So, you know, you'll notice that I've built programs sequentially, and I've held back sequentially because if there's some things that if I give people too early, then it doesn't, you know, it sabotages things. And so, you know, I've been very careful to be kind of pushing this daily idea first, and then today I've really dug into this idea of maybe making it into recordings. I may have mentioned it before, but today is that day where I've really pushed into it, and I'm pushing into it for folks who have done 10, 15, 20 days worth of content, and they're ready to move on. Now, if you're ready to move on after just a few days, cool. But if you get into it and you do that first session and you're ready to beat yourself up, stop and go back to writing it for 2 more weeks, and then you'll be ready to go to recording at some point. You follow me?
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. We don't want to push you too hard. It's kind of like if you go to the gym the first day and you lift too much, too many body parts, you can't even get out of bed the next day. But if you go to the gym and you work with light weights today and light weights for 3 weeks, and then you boost them up a little bit, you know, then 6 months from now you look back and you go, wow, my muscles are bigger and I've lost a few pounds and I have more energy. But if you did it all on day one, you'd just burn out and you'd be in lots of pain and you wouldn't go to the gym for a week, and you might even, you know, you just be done with it. It's the same way with this. We got to work into it slowly. And because you have had that time off, I want to make sure that we're not pushing you to the same place where we're pushing other people who have been doing that daily work. And that's all. That's the only thing. And so, but if you're ready to start recording, by all means, start recording, Dale.
Great.
All right. Any other questions for me?
No, not right now.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, let's open up the call, and let's see if we can identify the Skype user that was on a muffled line. Let's hear.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Who is this?
It's Bruce.
Hello, Bruce. How are you?
Great.
Very, very good.
Yeah, just came off of 3 days of intense, 3 weeks, I should say, of intense vacation with all my family down from Canada. So we've been on the road until I took them to the airport yesterday. So I haven't been at the typewriter or at the computer for very much, but I have been putting a lot of thought into what I'm doing, and I've had a chance to write some of these things down. But I certainly didn't achieve my goal of 3 chapters, that's for sure. But we had 9 people here, and we took them all down the road to across the country and back again. And it's kind of hard to focus or even to get a few minutes apart to do something. But now I've got a solid week of time off, and I can use that time as I want. So I'm really looking forward to continuing the project.
Excellent. So can I confirm that I heard that you did complete your goal of 3 chapters even with all the company?
I did not. No, I did not.
Okay, that's fine.
Just
about
done with the first one, but the other two are still...
Okay, no worries. I mean, you had a welcome intrusion. You know, you had family, and it's always good to see family, and so that was a good thing, and you got to spend that time with family and friends, and so now it's just a matter of starting over. So what's your goal then for the next 2 weeks, Bruce?
Well, we'll definitely finish the 3 chapters, and I'm going to do my best to go into the 4th one, and I have the outline for 4 of them. Actually, I have it for 12 of them, but I'm quite assured that I have the material that I need for the 4. I've been doing some, you know, thinking and research whenever I get a chance. So I have some material to put in there. It's just putting it on the paper now, on the computer screen, I guess.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Bruce, I don't want to, I mean, you know, we probably don't want to push any harder here because with all of that vacation, you know, we're kind of resetting things with you. But any questions for me for this good time?
Not right now. I think I will have some as I go along. What I'm finding is that I'm tending to drill a little deeper than I thought I would. And, my only concern, I guess it's in the back of my mind, it's not in the forefront right now, but my concern is that I might get in so deep that I get bogged down. I want to make sure I keep moving along.
Okay. Well, I it's probably too early to try to diagnose that, you know, because we, you know, you're now really at that first point where you have the time to work on it.
Exactly.
I think that that's probably something. If you get bogged down, then we'll deal with it in the next time that we meet in 2 weeks. And whatever the problem is that bogged you down, because there's like 100 different reasons you could get bogged down. And if we just find out the one reason, then we can decompose that one reason. The chance is you may not get bogged down. You're real focused right now. And, you know, the one thing I would suggest is that you're always, every day you're starting fresh. I mean, you got 10 days to write 3 chapters. And so if you do get bogged down, I'll give you this one piece of advice, Bruce. If you do get bogged down on one day, then when you are done with that day, you're going to reset your mental switch. And then tomorrow you're going to start fresh. Whatever you were bogged down on, don't start on that same thing tomorrow. So let's say you get bogged down on chapter one. Tomorrow when you come in, if you work on chapter one for 5 minutes and you get into the same swampy mess that you were in yesterday, just stop. Stop working on chapter one and start writing chapter two. You know, and then you do everything you can in chapter two and you get bogged down, great. Next day, work on chapter three. Then after that's done, there's a sense of accomplishment. Then you can go back on day four, work some more on chapter one. You'll probably find that your bogged downedness kind of goes away. So I would recommend that if you get stuck on anything, just stop. Don't try to fight the stickiness. Don't fight it. Just go to something else. And I think that if you do that, if I could give you one piece of forward-looking advice, I would say that that's probably the piece I should give you.
That's great. I think that fits me perfectly.
Excellent. All right. Well, very, very good. I'm excited for you, Bruce. I really am. And this is going to be the most exciting 2-week period because you've come off of this 3 weeks of vacation. So you're ready to get in there and make it happen. So I'm excited to hear your progress in 2 weeks.
Thanks a lot.
All right, folks, I'm looking at my control panel, and it looks like we've got one more Skype user, and I don't know who you are, because, of course, Skype doesn't tell me. So if you haven't gone yet, now's your opportunity today.
Hey, Sean, can you hear me?
I sure can. Who's this?
Hey, how are you? This is Balaji. I'm Joshua's partner.
Yes.
So hope you're well. Joshua gave the update on behalf of both of us, so I'm just sitting here and taking notes.
Excellent. Well, very good. Good to hear your voice. And obviously I answered all of your questions when I spoke with Joshua, but any comment or question, follow-up matter question?
No, the advice that you provided was consistent, and I think we need that sometimes just to bring us back to the simple basics. So I'm excited to have an affirmative update for you on the next call. We want to make sure that we're going to hit the goals we committed to today.
Excellent. I believe you can. You've got a nice list of buyers, and you run a few webinars. You know, I don't believe there's any reason why you can't sell out that coaching program. You know, you do things the way that you've been trained to. You use the standard methods. You know, if you don't sell everybody via the webinar, you know, there's always print. There's always a payment plan, you know, without getting into kind of a full selling teaching there. You know, you just say you sell five people at the $1,000 mark. And you know that there's more demand, but for some reason you just can't sell those last five. Introduce a payment plan, you know, three payments, four payments, something like that. And there will be people, you know, I've discovered if five people buy at $1,000, five people will buy at four payments, $250 or $275, you know. And so you've always got the payment plan option. You've always got the option to transcribe what's working on the webinar into something print. And, you know, you've always got the option to pull out the stops. You know, let's say you've sold eight and you got 2 days before the whole thing's going to start. And you say, okay, well, fine, we'll start it. And then you send out an email that says, wow, we had a phenomenal time. This is what we worked on. It's not too late to get in. I've discovered if you have seven or eight people out of a 10-spot program, two to three people will come in after the first day. Just as humans, we're procrastinators. We wait till the last minute. And there is a cohort of people on your list, guaranteed, that will not sign up until it's too late. Like, they think they missed it. And then you tell them there's one last chance, and they just come out of the woodwork. It's amazing. But it's human nature. It's just the way we operate as humans. We often wait too long. You know, we do that in our whole life. We wait too long to fix our diet till we get a disease. We wait till our relationships are messed up before we decide to fix them. It's human nature. And it's the same thing here. People wait until it's too late to sign up. But hey, since there's two more spots, then they can sign up and they just get a recording of the first session. So just some ideas there if you're struggling to hit that number, some things you can kind of pull out of your hat. But I believe with a list of 2,000 buyers, you ought to be able to put 10 people in a $1,000 program pretty easy.
Excellent. Thanks, John.
All right. You're welcome, Balaji. All righty, folks, am I missing anybody? If this is your final chance to talk with me personally. All right, folks. Now, here, I just want to do a quick wrap-up. Let's do some interactive. Let me ask you this, folks. Obviously, working with you one-on-one today, you got some value out of that. However, I want to ask the question, have you gotten value out of the whole call? And if that's the case, just say yes.
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 Absolutely.
Okay, excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. I appreciate that feedback. Here's the thing. I designed this in such a way today that each of these teaching points will apply to more than just each person. And I've designed this in such a way that you know not only what your plan is for these next 2 weeks, but I want you to imagine that you have a flashlight and you've been able to kind of see the big picture at a little bit clearer distance now. You're able to see that big picture, and it's unfolding in front of you. And it's not instant. It does take time. The foundation of the daily content is critical, and that habit that comes along with that. And out of that daily content comes products, comes coaching, comes your email campaign, comes your expert presence. It just, you know, all of these things work together. So obviously you've taken good notes on the whole picture today. And then you also have in front of you the exact things that you're going to do over the next 2 weeks. Hold yourself accountable. A lot of times it's easy to wait until Tuesday night and then go, oh, man, I got to stay up all night to finish this up so I'm not embarrassed on the call. Start today, and then you won't have to rush. And most of you, your vacations are out of the way now, you know, kind of starting this when we did. We had a lot of you went on vacation right away, and so it slowed things down. Well, your vacations are over, and so, you know, approach this as if it's your first day. Let's make something huge happen, folks, and we'll see you next time.
Sean.
Thanks, Sean. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Very good. We'll see you, folks. Excellent. Very good. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. You're welcome.